So what we're going to do is get you to stand about right here.
Oh, my. You're going to make my head big.
Teamwork. Gonna
make yeah, no.
Everybody's
yeah.
got, like, in, like,
when I was making lots of announcements for the police department over the years, I would always go out there and say, if you want me to talk to you.
I did not get mics.
I have one rule. Don't make my head big. I would make them back off the cameras. So please, don't make my head big. Don't zoom in.
No, we will not. We will not.
Don't zoom in.
All right,
who wants
get
the question?
On real okay. quick. One sec, y'all. Thank you very much.
All right.
Great. So, yeah, first things first, I'm going to stand right here. If you can look straight this way so we can kind of get your profile
okay.
on. Why are you running?
Well, I've been in the city for 25 years. Over the years as a police officer, you really get to know a city well. You really get to know what's going on, what's going right, what's going wrong, the pulse of the people that are in the city. And I just started developing a love for the city and a caring for the people in the city that I think naturally comes as a police officer. And as it just grew over the years, you say, you know, if not me, who? And if not now, when? And for years and years, I just put it off and I said, no, I'm not going to do anything. About 99, one of my neighbors asked me, would you join the Neighborhood Association? And, you know, that was 1999, and that kind of got it started. Joined the Neighborhood Association, got involved. As that grew and grew, they asked me, several people asked me, would you be on the Planning Commission? Put my name in the hat for the Planning Commission. I was selected by City Council for that. And my caring has just grown even more. I got promoted to sergeant in the police department. As a supervisor, you get more responsibility, and you become more aware of what's going on and the people's needs. Started advocating for, you know, supervisors and for other city department heads, et cetera, to live in the city, because I really believe it made a difference when you live in the city. And that just kind of has come to its fruition at this point.
And I guess in 2009, was that when you stepped down from the Planning Commission? Am I correct?
Yes. It was interesting. I had planned on doing 8 years on the Planning Commission, but I made a deal with my wife. If she took Jake and Boy Scouts, I would give up the Planning Commission in 4 years and take over. Well, she called me on it 4 years later. She went back to work full time. I stepped down off the Planning Commission. They asked me to stay, but I wanted to be there for the family more. The kids were getting a little bit older. I don't know if you saw them, but they're 11 and 13 now. It was a critical time in their life. I stepped down, but always stayed involved with the Neighborhood Association.
So what changed, I'm sorry, Lauren, what changed between then and now to make you want to step back in?
I'm retiring in about 120 days. So, I mean, the timing was just right. Years ago, I looked into running for city council, but I knew there was going to be conflicts with working for the city and being on council. I got some legal advice then that said I could do it, but I decided that it wouldn't be in the best interest of myself or everybody involved. But now that I'm retiring, it just came, you know, the perfect storm, so to speak.
And other than the rain tax, what other issues are you focusing on?
We're going to come out with we have a list of many, many items. It has to do with traffic. It has to do with the public housing, as you've heard. It's got to do with a multitude of issues that we want to be able to speak to more broadly at a little bit later time.
What do you think some of your biggest challenges are in this race? I mean, it's been 7 years since the Republicans run.
Clearly, the biggest challenge is going to be, you know, it's no secret. This is a very, very strong Democratic city. We are Republicans. Sadly, in the state of Virginia, in the city, we have to run in a party. You could run as an independent. An independent hasn't won a race in Charlottesville since 1936. You know, I am a conservative guy, and I find out that most of the people that I talk to are conservative-natured as well. As far as Republican goes, I'm very moderate. So the biggest challenge, as you asked, is going to be to get folks that would normally vote Democrat automatically to give us a chance and to moderate city council.
I have really nerdy questions.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you sat on the steering committee for the Meadow Creek Parkway interchange, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. How would you rate that project? Do you think that could come up?
Let me just say, I don't know if it can come up or not. I think that's water under the bridge. But that was over 24 months of my life, dedicated. You were there. Many, many, many meetings. We've had very broad consensus and support from the city and the county, the business and the citizens' community. And yet it was changed afterwards. So, you know, that's just something that has, you know, taught me something over the years.
And specifically, it was the roundabouts to a diamond interchange. Is that?
Yeah. Well, we very painstakingly developed what we thought would be the best interchange for the community. Thank you. And that was changed completely to something completely different, to a much more urban setting, which was against the whole ideas. I mean, we wanted to have it more park-like.
How would that inform your time on council in terms of how you would delegate?
When it comes to being on council, if we have a steering committee of citizens that's involved in something, we really need to be listening to what those citizens are saying. We really need to be taking their input. If we need to break away from their input, then we need to lay out very clearly why we're doing something different, which wasn't really done.
Why do you think a Republican voice is needed now?
It's not a Republican voice okay. that we need. What we need is just a moderate voice. The city needs to be run in a very professional way by capable people that have been involved in government before, that have been involved in business before, et cetera. And that's just what they've been lacking for many years.
I've seen a lot of county Republicans here at this event today. Any coordination with the Republican Party? Because they're a little bit stronger in the county than here.
I wouldn't say coordination so much. Is we're just friends. And, you know, you may have gotten, I know you're one of my friends, you probably got one of the emails, mm-hmm. sent out 500 emails to 500 friends saying, hey, please come down here. Okay. And they live in all the counties.
Gotcha.
You guys ready to speak to Buddy?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Buddy.
Here he comes.
Trading out, man.
Trading out.
Thanks, Mike.
Good luck.
Shadows. Buddy, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of position you so we get some sun on your face.
Sure.
That's
he's retired.
Right.
Yeah, I'll give you this one.
Okay.
Yeah. He will retire, but he will be retired.
I can turn around and swing at my bald spot.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. 120 days.
Super. All right.
See, look at the teamwork in this town. You got
I know.
Dogs
I
and cats
it.
Living together.
I know. Guess small enough market.
And if you notice,
do you want to position your camera a little further
there?
This way?
Yeah,
okay.
Just
that'd be fun.
Really
do you want to do it to switch
DDC
sides?
Yeah, I can go over here. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
Sorry, it's all about the glamour, bud.
Yeah, I make you look good. There we go.
Which way do you want me to look?
You can
oh,
look
yeah.
straight down the middle if you don't mind, and we'll hold the microphones out here so it's not too hard.
There we go.
Okay.
Great.
All righty.
Is this recording? Yeah, it's recording.
What made you decide to run?
After Rob Schilling lost his election in 2006, I took over as the chair of the party, and we decided that we were going to regroup as a party, reorganize, try to figure out what we stood for and how that what we stood for really applied to local issues. And so for a number of years, we decided not to put candidates up. But once we sort of thought through those issues and got the organization a little better, it boiled down to who were we going to get to run. And I said, I'm not going to give up the party chair until I've got candidates out there. I said it's just not fair for me to drop the ball at this point for the party itself. And I've tried to recruit a number of candidates. It's hard to get people who have jobs and families to commit to running as a Republican in this town because it's so hard. I mean, we're outnumbered by 3 or 4 to 1, and people have to commit a good portion of their life and time away from their families and their jobs to do this. I'd been talking to Mike for a number of years about this, trying to convince him to run. I knew he would be a good candidate, and I'm sure he will. He'd be a great counselor. But it boiled down to he was it, and I finally told him that if he would run, I'll run with him. So that's what it really boiled down to. Mike and I have been dear friends for at least 10, 12 years. We do a lot of things together. I've watched his kids grow up and very close to his whole family, and so he and I are a team, and I just told him that as a personal matter, if he'll run, I'll run with him, and we'll do this together.
So were you the person who approached him first off?
Oh, absolutely.
And so is it somewhat fitting, I suppose, that you're running together in this way?
Well, yeah, I did approach him. I approached a number of people. Actually, I spoke to a person the other day, and I told him that, you know, Mike was going to be one of the candidates, and they said, gosh, you know, I tried to talk to him about running several years ago. So I think Mike's name has sort of been out there in the public for some time. He developed a very good reputation on the Planning Commission as a voice of reason. And so I just think, you know, approaching him was a logical step. Plus the fact that he and I are good friends that I could kind of keep talking to him.
So are you stepping down as party chair to do this?
Well, as of right now, I'm not. You know, we'll have to see who's willing to step up and do it. Obviously, you know, I mean, those duties are not necessarily in conflict. You know, Bill Stanley is a state senator, and he's still the 5th district chairman. So, you know, those things are not necessarily in conflict, and I don't foresee any conflict here, but if someone, you know, dearly wants the job and they want to raise their hand and say, hey, I'll take over those duties for you, I'd probably be happy to pass it on to them. But for right now, I'm just holding on to it.
Now you talked a little bit about your I guess, the Public Housing Authority. That's something that's created a lot of headlines recently and over the past several years, as you mentioned. I mean, is that the stormwater tax? When will we find out more of your platform and more of your plans for...
They're just going to have to come out piecemeal over time. As issues get raised, we'll talk more in detail about them. For right now, my goal and Mike's goal is to have the people of Charlottesville get to know us as people first. I don't think you can... I mentioned the cardinal rule of leadership about delegation, but there's another cardinal rule. It says you can't be a good leader without first being a good human being. And I think that's where we got to come across and talk to the people and make sure that they can first trust us, you know, more than anything. And then we can start talking about the ideas. Reasonable people are going to disagree with a lot of ideas, you know. Hopefully that people will listen to all sides before they can render a judgment. You got to develop that trust first. So that's our goal first, is to have the people get to know us.
How important was the Reagan dinner? I mean, if you hadn't had the Reagan dinner, would we be here right now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. we elected to do the Reagan dinner just because it was a way to get people together. We had Jim Burnley set up as a guest speaker, and then when I got a call that said, you know, Karl Rove had actually volunteered to come down and do this for us as well, I was pretty excited. It's two people that span, you know, multi-generations of presidential candidates. Every Republican president in the last 30 years has been named either Reagan or Bush, you know, so having ties to both of those campaigns was a good thing, I think, and I particularly appreciated, you know, Secretary Burnley's comments about, you know, how Reagan approached his job and his campaigns and how he approached the people. It was really, really nice to hear again.
Great. Last from me, in one or two sentences, briefly, what are the next 6 months going to look like for you?
Probably worn out shoes, multiple handshakes, lots of puzzled looks and questions. I've gone door to door for candidates before. I remember going door to door several years ago for Rob, and one of the guys opened the door and he says, "I wouldn't vote for a Republican for dog catcher." You know, so you gotta sort of break through that sort of mentality, and I actually spent some time talking to the guy, and he ended up agreeing with most of what I had to say. So, I think it can be done. It's just a matter of persuasion. It's a matter of reason and logic, and trying to get away from the labeling that we too often do in our politics. I really detest that part of our politics where, instead of engaging someone, we label them.
So, do you feel like, as a Republican, it's going to be more difficult for you to get on city council again?
Oh, sure. I mean, like I said, we're outnumbered by 3 or 4 to 1. You know. I'll tell you a story. Is that, you know, several years ago, I did a fundraiser for a nonprofit group down here, and it was wine tasting. We were bartending in the wine, and one young lady comes in and pours a glass of wine, and she says, "Well, who are you, and why are you the celebrity?" And I said, "Well, I'm the token knuckle dragging, Bible thumping, gun toting, heartless soulless, racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobe." And she goes, "You're what?" I said, "Yeah, that means I'm the Republican." And we had a nice discussion after that. Once you lay that all out, you know, but that's what I hope to avoid is that sort of stereotyping, name calling, and really take these issues and confront them for what they really are, and recognize that the issues that we're talking about are issues that affect everybody in the city, not just one small group of the city. These are everybody that lives here wants the best quality of life. You know, I love it here. I've been here for 20 years, and I'm not going to leave. We all want the same thing. It's just a matter of what can we do to make it better at this point.
How do you assess your opponents on the other side this year? Does that come into consideration? Because you don't know the candidates.
We don't know who they are yet. You know, I mean, the Democrats have to decide who they're going to run. I mean, once they decide who they're going to run, then we'll assess the candidates. They've got 5 candidates for 2 slots. In June, they'll decide who those 2 are. Then we'll be able to have an assessment. Till now, that's their business to decide who their candidates are going to be. It's not our job.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rosen.
Thank you.